Welcome so much to Thrive Church. Man, we are so excited that you took time out of your life to invest in the kingdom of God and God's word into your life. Man, we're so excited that you made us a part of that. We count that a privilege and we don't take that for granted. Man, we hope that today's message blesses you. We also pray that if it does, that you'll take time just to rate and review our podcast, however you take this information in. Just would mean the world to us. Also, if you're interested in giving and supporting the work here at Thrive Church, you can do so by going to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. Man, let's jump right into today's message. You know, it is not every week, but from time to time, I have really, really bad weeks. I know that's, you never have those. So this week, we put a light bar in, new light bar, new lighting, put a camera in. But by the way, special thanks to Isaac, Jesse. Jesse headed this project up, did a great job. Matt, who, James, I'm leaving people out. Michael. Yeah, Michael, as a matter of fact, we bought like three new camera mounts for our camera and none of them worked. I mean, we did everything we could do and either they gave us weird angles. So you looked really spooky on camera, like your head was this big, but your body was this big, which while amusing is not exactly the look we're going for. But we just had some weird angles and stuff. And so Michael came in and he's just like, man, I can fabricate that. So he literally just went in and plasma cut some stuff and did all the magic that he does and did that. Yeah. And man, Jesse was here and just about every day this week working, doing something nonstop. The ironic story there is he messed his shoulder up and then he stepped on a nail. Thank God it wasn't here. Yeah. And like he's had a really bad week. And he came here, and, man, if he couldn't do it, he'd sit on a thing and talk somebody through how to wire something or how to – I mean, it's just crazy the way that the Lord worked. And I love that last song we did because it talks about prophesying your promise. You don't have to prophesy your promise when things are going well. People go, well, what do you mean prophesy? Prophesy is the foretelling of the future. Now, we believe that that's through biblical means. We believe that it can – the imitation of that is when it's tried to be done through witchcraft. You see that, you know, 1-800-DIAL-A-DEMON thing on your TV, 1-900-DIAL-A-DEMON kind of thing. But the truth of the matter is you don't always need a new word. You don't always need to thank God for a new word. I believe in new words. But thank God for the word that I've already got. And if your new word don't line up with what's already in the word, it's not a word from God. That's the litmus test. But here's the thing. So what happens? Like when I was having this week, man, it was so we put two routers in the church this week. We had I can't say the name of the country, but it sounds like Spectrum. Was here two or three times. We had an amazing technician that just refused to give up. Matter of fact, I met him here just before 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. I actually got here 7-something, and he was parked in the driveway. He's like, I can't officially do anything till 8, but I'm here and we're going to make sure your church is up and you're broadcasting live. And man, we've just seen the favor of God even through the problems. We've seen the favor of God over and over again. We've seen people's relentlessness to give up till projects were finished so that we could spread the gospel. And I'm just going to say this, that part of that is when we prophesy our own promise, all we're doing is echoing what God's already said. For me, it looks like this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless me and prosper me and to give me a hope even when the internet isn't working. And the first service, we're in the middle of streaming and somebody unplugged the internet inadvertently. They just caught their foot in it, didn't know it, unplugged it just enough to turn everything off. We're broadcasting live and all of a sudden Becca goes. We've had weird stuff go wrong today. You know why? Because, man, we're taking new ground. But, you know, this is my declaration. This is my prophecy over every endeavor we have is that this, the Lord's going to use it. He's going to bless it. He's going to prosper it. He's going to give it a hope, and he's going to give it a future. And, man, you know what? We're going to keep fighting because I'm not giving up on that. I'm not backing down from that. And you know what? You may have a week where you have to do the same thing. So I'm excited. I'm going to have to drink water. I preached two services and talked to enough people this morning that my throat, that just made Liz super nervous. Maybe buying a keyboard this week too if I keep up at this rate. It is what it is. But So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to do something a little unique. I'm going to teach proximity, the proximity that I taught last week. I'm actually going to teach it exactly the same again. It's just going to be from a slightly different vantage point. And I sat back and I'm like, well, why, Lord, would you ask me to teach this twice? It's easy because we didn't get it the first time. You know, here's the thing. You ever gotten sick and you take your first antibiotic and you're like, oh, well, I'm not feeling any different. Didn't mean it didn't work. You just got to do what? You got to keep taking it. Yeah. If we're really going to work on our proximity, you can't take it one time and then walk away from it and be like, well, it didn't work. Man, you got to, this has to become a way of thinking. It's got to be a way the litmus test for how close to people we allow ourselves to get and how close to God we have to maintain ourselves. So we're going to talk about your proximity in two ways again today, your proximity to people and your proximity to God. Now, next week, I'm going to try not to mess this up because we played with enough titles that I keep messing it up. But next week, I'm going to preach a message, maybe a series called Pick Your Poison. Because here's what I believe. I believe that a lot of times we're poisoned by all kinds of stuff. And unfortunately, it's not stuff that we can't control. It's by stuff we choose. I had to get rid of three things in my life to become healthier. I got rid of Facebook. The only thing I like is the stuff the church does. Instagram. The only thing I've got notifications set on, the only notification I've got set is what the church does. I hit like on my watch and I keep going because I've already seen them. I don't have to read them again. And I quit going to Walmart. Instantaneously, I became 30% more spiritual and able to maintain my flesh better and operate in the manifestations of the Spirit. I stopped watching the news and instantaneously the joy of my life went up 45%. You know why? Because those were four poisons that I was taking in by my own choice. The devil didn't do them. Nobody was forcing me. I did it by my own free will. And I did it and then went, man, I feel horrible. I started limiting how much fried food I eat because I made this realization. How come it is every time I eat it, I feel worse? Why keep eating it? If every time you watch the news, you feel like junk, but what if I miss something? Well, if it's that big of a deal, you won't miss it. Like if it's a meteor coming, you'll see it. Well, I have to watch it for the news. No, you don't. Who in here does not have a smartphone? There's an app on there. I don't care if you're Android or iPhone. There's an app on there. Guess what? It's called weather. You don't have to drink poison to get to the weather. So I don't know who that was for, but this series is going to be good because we're going to look at all the ways that we poison ourselves. And kind of how to deal with those, how to get off the poison and move to the better things. So this morning we're going to do proximity week two. I want to start with bad influences. I just want to echo what we said in week one a little bit. Our first scripture text out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Man, you are who you hang around. And you're generally not who you hang around the first time you hang around them. But the more you hang around them, the more you become like them. Have you ever been around somebody who cusses all the time? And all my spiritual people just look at me like, what is this cussing you speak of? Okay. So we've all been around these people who, man, they've got a bad mouth. And you hear them say this stuff over and over and over and over again. Then inevitably what's going to happen is you're going to get up in the middle of the night to find your phone or because an animal's barking and you're going to find the coffee table with your pinky toe. And you're going to hear that instantaneously recognizable sound of crunching bone and pain shooting through your body. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth as a fight anyway is not, "Well, praise the Lord," right? It's not the go-to that comes to the forefront of our mind. But the more you're around those people, the easier it is for it to come out. Why? Because bad company ruins good morals. You are who you hang around. And when we deal with proximity by definition is the distance from or towards an object, a person, a place. Man, when we really take time, we go, man, who are the people that I'm really hanging around with and do I need to hang around them? We're going to take a look at some stuff that's very specific because it may actually surprise you what the Bible says. But before we do, I want to go to 1 John 3:18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. And it says this. It says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. God said this. He said, man, if you're going to live, don't just talk about it. If we're going to really be Christians, let's live an authentic version of Christianity. And an authentic version of Christianity looks like our proximity to God and people. And God specifically talks about how we're supposed to deal with that. So let's not just be people who love God in the way that we talk and in this hypothetical thing, but let's do it in love and in action. Let's do it in this really deep and authentic way. Matter of fact, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 16, 17, and 18. So here's the misconception. We've got a misconception of who we have to watch out for. Now, do we have to watch out for let's see, I hate saying sinners because we're all sinners. But let's say people who do not have a profession of faith. Is that good? In other words, they don't call themselves a Christian. Because you got two kinds of sinners. You got just like heathen sinners. No God, right? They're sinners and they just know, right? I never will forget one time. I was a youth pastor in Thomasville, and a student in my youth ministry came to him and said, "Will you talk to my uncle? He was just released from a federal penitentiary. And he just rejects God on everything." And I said, "Sure." So I went to the house, and man, the biggest dude I have ever seen in my entire life. The guy probably weighed 450 pounds. He literally had tattoos from below his neck to his toes. He'd had a couple of missing teeth that had got knocked out in fights in prison. And he just looked like if you said Hell's Angels, this guy's picture is like beside it. Like he just, and so I went to the house, he came walking out just right out to the front door. And we lean up and I start talking to him about Jesus. And he looked at me and said, "Man, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm driving the school bus into hell." And I don't know what level of the Holy Spirit or stupid took over. But he was probably 6'4", 6'5". And I remember putting my finger up in this man's face who could kill me and not even feel bad about it. He could probably kill me and not pick up another charge. And I went, "Man, ain't nobody driving a school bus to hell." And we began to talk about, I just told him what hell really was. Man, hell's a place of torment. It's an eternity of torment. It's an eternity of torture. And we began to talk through it. And I said, "Man, you ain't driving a school bus there. Man, you're going to be locked in it if you don't," right? But here's the thing. Sinners that don't have an understanding of God are not my enemy. They're my purpose. But the Bible talks to us and he says this. I love it. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, said, "I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them." I'm going to read that again. He said, "I appeal to you, brothers." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He said, "I appeal to you, church, watch out to those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them." He's not talking about sinners causing the problems. He's talking about people who call themselves Christians but don't really live out what's actually in the Bible. I love that last song we did because it said, "Man, break down the walls and the hang-ups that I have of religion and of that kind of thing, because your way is better." God is really not. Jesus never came to be religious. He didn't come to be political. That was the two things everybody wanted him to be. People wanted him to be the king in a physical sense, in a way that he sat on a throne and ruled the world. And he said, "I'll sit in heaven and I'll rule the world. You know, I don't do it the way you want me to." But the other thing was this, is the people that gave Jesus the most grief and actually ended up trying to kill Jesus were the people who called themselves people of faith. And what Jesus is talking about, and Paul echoes it in Romans, is he said this. He said, "I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for people who cause divisions and create obstacles. Watch out for the people that come and they try to add layers of stuff into your life, or they try to teach a theology that doesn't match up with what's actually in the Word of God." I have had family members who love God and taught me stuff that was so jacked up out of Scripture. I'm like, "Woo, time out. Where's that in the Bible?" "Well, I know it's in there." "No, if you can't give me chapter and verse, it ain't actually in there." Or they'll say this, "Well, I will never forget this. When I came up, I'm a product of the high school years were in the 90s. And man, back in the 80s and 90s, interracial relationships were really a big deal. And I never will forget having a conversation with somebody inside the church, and they said, yeah, but the scripture says don't be unevenly yoked. And I'm like, you're crazy. That's not even what it's talking about. Like, that's not what's actually in the book. Moses was Israeli, Jewish, and he married a woman who was Egyptian. More than likely, she was black. Well, did God get mad at Moses? No, as a matter of fact, God used him and blessed him and used his wife. And this is, now, if you go, hey, I only like skinny people, or I only like people with long hair, or short hair, or no hair, or big ears. Thank God, you know, for me. But we all have types. There's nothing wrong with saying that's not my type, but don't add God to it. Does that make sense? Scripture clearly teaches us, look, man, don't hang around. Avoid people who try to add laws into something that I didn't create a law for. Watch people who try to add religion into a place where I didn't put religion. He said, man, you're supposed to walk away from. Matter of fact, verse 18 says this, for such persons do not serve the Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. So, man, he said, you got to understand, you leave that scripture up for a minute. It says, for such persons don't serve the Lord. Man, people that come to cause other Christians to stumble through adding religious layers on are not there to keep him. And you can't have proximity to these people. But yeah, but they say they love Jesus. Man, not everybody who says they love Jesus loves Jesus. And some people love Jesus and just don't know what they're talking about. Have you ever heard somebody just start to, I do it all the time because, like, you know, I spent most of my life studying the scripture. I hear people start talking, I'm like, just stop talking. Because you're confusing everybody in the room. The first question that I ask my wife when I walk off stage, because my litmus test for is my scripture good or bad, is I ask my wife and I ask my son. Two people I want to know what they think about. First question I ask, did that make sense? Like, if you didn't know what I was talking about, would it make sense? When we're talking about proximity, is it okay to say, look, man, you've got to watch out for the bad friends in your life, week one, but you also have to watch for the people who are wolves in sheep's clothing? The men, they sound like Jesus, but they're not saying the same thing Jesus is saying. The tone's the same, but the message is different. It's like this. Have you ever played an old song and you're, the person in the car with you is singing all the wrong words, but the tune is right? A.K.A. my wife, I love 80s music, but I figured this out. I sing 90% of the 80s music with the wrong lyric at certain points of it. There was an old Def Leppard song called Pour Some Sugar on Me. I don't think anybody actually knows the words to this. I made parts up that don't even make sense. And one day we were riding to the beach, and we were riding around, and I'm singing it. And man, I'm in tune, and I'm on rhythm, and my wife, well, on rhythm. And my wife looks at me, and she turns the radio down. She said, what did you just say? And I told her, and she said, that's not even close. That's not even in the hemisphere of what he said. I said, well, when I was 12 and this song came out, it made sense back then. See, some people are teaching an interpretation that they had when they were 12, and they've just taught it over and over and over again rather than maturing in their faith, and now they're trying to put their immaturity in your life and into your mature faith. We're not naive because we're stupid. We're naive because a lot of times we lie to ourselves. I lie to myself more than the devil ever did. It's like this, when you ever done 30 minutes on a treadmill? I said that first service, and three people laughed like I had. No. But you ever done 30 minutes, or you worked out, and you had this really good, like, 30-minute workout, and you go downstairs, and your spouse has made you a salad. So you sit there and you eat your salad with your chicken and your light dressing, and then 20 minutes later you're still hungry, and because you worked out, you convince yourself that it's okay because you ate a salad, did 30 minutes on the treadmill. It's okay that you sit down with a whole box of Little Debbies and you eat them all because you worked out. Now, don't make me feel like I'm the only person. See, we lie to ourselves all the time. Well, what happens is the enemy will send these kind of people into your life that sound religious, and they're hyper-religious, but they're not hyper-Jesus. And what they'll do is they'll put obstacles in front of you that can make you stumble and fall. So what God is saying here is, he said, look, don't just watch out for the sinner, but you've got to watch out sometimes for the people that call themselves the saint too. And you've got to take a step back and go, man, is what you're telling me line up with Scripture? Because I'm telling you, my friend, if I ever teach you something that's out of the Bible, it'll line up with every Scripture. I try to teach what's called continuity of Scripture. So I'll give you a couple of Old Testament and a couple of New Testament and go, look, it's the same back here and it's the same over here, because God didn't change his mind. Now, is there a difference in covenants? Yeah. Old Testament, we had to go through the slaughtering of lambs, and there were all the stuff that you could, and animals. There were all the stuff you couldn't do because it was, the law hadn't been perfected through Jesus. The sacrifice didn't change. The fact that we need a sacrifice, but what was sacrifice changed? Right. New Testament, so man, it's the sacrifice of Jesus. So what happens is this, is if you get people that will try to tie you to an old covenant, an old way of thinking, because they don't understand the new man, you've got to watch that. You've got to guard that theology so close and so tight, because man, it's your soul that's on the line. Right. Yeah. Proximity matters. Titus, I know everybody reads Titus all the time. But Titus chapter 3, 10 through 11. I'm going to kind of give you a summary of this one. But Titus chapter 3, 10 and 11. It says, if people are causing divisions among you, I'm going to pause right there. People can cause divisions among you that aren't like, when I think about divisions, the first thing I think about is arguments, right? But have you ever had people that try to divide your way of thinking? Like this, like I believe that it's God's will to heal the sick. You can believe that or not. I tell people, go, I don't know about that. Well, stay sick. You know, take your chances. Roll the dice. I'm fine. I trust God with everything. That makes me weird. I don't really care. Fair enough. Like, if you don't want Jesus to heal you, trust medicine. Like, can I be honest with you? I've seen man and I've seen God. I'll go. Now, that doesn't mean I don't go to the doctor either. That throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Well, God's created medicine. God created physicians and healthcare. I'm not avoiding one just to do the other. I think that there again, that's somebody putting an obstacle in front of me that doesn't make sense, because I've taken a Tylenol and it not work. If God ever says something's not going to work, guess what? It stops working. But if God says it'll work, I'm going to use it. I don't go outside every morning and start a fire or call down fire from heaven. No, I use my AC unit, my heat unit, and the electricity. Why? Because God made it. It's easier. Okay, I use medicine, but I believe that God makes medicine work. But have you ever been to a place where you needed God to heal your body and you made the mistake of calling the wrong Christian? The wrong supposed Christian? They're, well, I don't know. And the next thing, by the time you get off the phone, half your mind is believing God to heal you and the other half's going, I don't know. Or you're trying to live for Jesus and you know that your identity is found in your adoption of by accepting Jesus, you become adopted, right? And you understand that even good kids do bad things, but by the time you're done talking to this person, they've got you wondering if you're even saved. Yeah. These are who the Bible's talking about. It's, I mean, you need to get away from those people. That's not what I said. Jesus said that according to Pauline epistle, he said this. He said, if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. There wasn't an asterisk, no addendums, no additions to the contract. This ain't Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. You don't have to read the fine print to know what you're really getting into. Now, God does talk about a growing faith. The man, that's how you're saved from hell, but now we need to grow and we need to begin to bear fruit. But you know what? You can't bear fruit if all you're ever trying to do is not go to hell. Jesus said, man, your proximity to people matters, because if you listen to the wrong people, you'll spend your whole life on the treadmill of not going to hell, when that's a promise. And you'll never run the marathon of accomplishing your purpose, your calling. See, Scripture says let me finish reading this. He said, if people are causing divisions among you, if they're causing these double-mindedness in your brain, he said, give a first warning and a second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. You're fired. Man, I get rid of stuff. Well, look, why don't we try to keep everything? How many people in here have a junk drawer in your house? Why? You don't ever use anything out of it. It's full of twist ties off your old bread, batteries that you know don't work, miscellaneous cords that you don't. I found a cord the other day that I threw away that went to a flip. Remember the first texting phones where you flipped it up and you typed with your thumbs, had a full keyboard? I found the charger to a phone I don't even own anymore. Why did I keep that? Why do we keep stuff? Worse, have you ever kept something that could hurt somebody if they didn't know how to use it? Like, it's broken, and like, I had a car one time that it was a stick shift, and in order to drive it, you had to push in the clutch, hold the brake with part of your foot, but keep the gas revved with the other part, or it would stall out on you. Oh, yeah, my wife would, and if you turned the air conditioning on too much, it would change the idling of the truck. I mean, man, I had this truck. I bought it in 98. It was a 96, and I drove it till 2000 and something. So, I mean, it was a piece. It was like, when I went to buy my new car, I bought the new car from the son of the guy I bought the original car from. He was actually in my youth group. And I drove in. He said, "Dude, is this thing even running?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, can we drive it to appraise it?" And I said, "Yeah, you can. But in order to, you need to hold the, and you need to," and the guy said, "Man, we'll just make an appraisal without driving it. Don't even worry about it." Why do we keep stuff in our life that can hurt us so easy? Why do we keep people in our life that can just turn around and hurt us? Paul said this. He said, "Man, you need to give people warnings." See, I think we've turned Christianity into weakling faith, and it's not meant to be. Hey, look, you're teaching a theology that's not right. Now stop. Here it is in the Word of God. I'm not going to listen to this. Like, we're not doing this. And then I'm going to tell you again. Look, this isn't right. This isn't biblical. And then the third thing I'm going to tell you is bye. We're afraid of getting rid of stuff. We keep people in the junk drawers of our life and then wonder why our lives are a mess. When what the Word of God really says is, look, man, if these people are causing divisions, if they're causing stuff to go on in your life, if you've got a friend that causes trouble in your marriage, you've got the wrong friend. If you've got a family member that every time you're together they cause strife in the family, it's time to stop inviting them to Thanksgiving. Well, that seems me. No, one Thanksgiving alone may be all it takes for them to repent. You don't do this stuff to be mean. You do it to be like, no, I can't. Why am I gonna let you bite me? I told the story in the first service, and it wasn't really planned. It was really planned for that poison series. But this little boy picks this snake up. He's on his way over the mountain, and the top of the mountain's snow, and the bottom of the mountain's warm. As he goes up, it starts to snow, and must be a North Carolina mountain. And as he starts up there, there's the snake coiled up, and it's talking similar to the snake in the Garden of Eden. And it says, "Hey, will you pick me up and carry me down to where it's warm?" And he said, "I can't do that, because if I do, you're going to bite me and I'm going to die." The little boy finally is convinced to pick the snake up. He picks it up and he puts it in his jacket and he walks it over the mountain. So they come back into warm weather. The snake bites him. The little boy falls to the ground. The snake slithers out. As the boy draws his last breath, he said, "Man, you promised you wouldn't bite me." And the snake said, "Yeah, but you knew what I was when you picked me up." How many snakes are we picking up every day in our life because we won't change our proximity to it? What should the little boy have done? He should have seen the snake, and he should have got as far away from it as he could and made his way, and he would have been fine. Why are we surprised when the things that bite us are exactly what we thought they were, but we were naive enough that we convinced ourselves that they weren't really what they were? He said, "Man, you gotta have nothing more to do with them." Now, people can twist this and say, "Well, what are you saying, that God doesn't want us to have anything to do with sinners?" I'm going to take you to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 11. He said, "I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people." Sounds like a smart thing, right? But I want you to look at really what he's saying. Verse 10, he says this. He said, "Not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world." Paul writes, he said, "Look, man, I'm not talking about sinners. You know how to deal with sinners." Jesus gave us a clear example. Jesus hung out with sinners, prostitutes, and drunkards. In the Jewish community, the worst of the drunk, the worst of the sinners, right? But if you notice, what Jesus did was Jesus spent 40 days on a fast. He'd spend a little bit of time with sinners. Then he'd go pray. Then he'd spend a little bit of time. He was around sinners enough that he rubbed off on them, but they didn't rub off on him. I tell people, hang out. Our mission is to be around sinners. That's the point of the church, is to seek and help Jesus seek and save that which was lost. But we have to spend more time with God than we do with sinners. I say this, you ever go get dirty, like messing in the yard, then you go get a shower, right? You don't just go to bed that way. Lord, I hope you don't go to bed that way. Why? Because we said, "Man, I won't walk around dirty," right? My wife will not go out in public unless if she's had a shower and has makeup on. I think if our house caught on fire when the fireman kicked in the front door, my wife would be at the makeup table. She'll, I am not going out like this. Well, you're going to die. Well, it's just going to be the way it's going to be, you know. I make it easier on the mortician. It's going to be right because I'm not leaving this joint until I got some makeup on. So the point of it is this, man, we oftentimes get tied to these things where we think about people in one way, but not really what they are. Jesus said, man, you wouldn't go out dirty. Why would you walk around in a spiritual condition of dirty? If you wouldn't go outside without makeup on, why would you allow your spiritual condition to become less than what you want to present to the world? We want you to be around sinners. We just don't want you to become like a sinner. Paul said, man, I'm not talking about those people. He said, I'm not talking about the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy, the swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of this world. Paul said, man, if we told you not to be around sinners, we just have to zap you up to heaven. Because everybody's a sinner. This church is filled with sinners. Verse 11, he said, but now I'm writing to you. What he's saying, he said, I'm getting ready to clarify this. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality, greed, an idolater, a reveler, a drunkard, a swindler, not even eat with such a one. He said, man, and now, do we understand that everybody's in process? If you're here and you're not going through something that the Lord's developing you in, maybe it's a 5-year journey, maybe it's a 5-minute journey. If you don't have something that the Lord's dealing with you, some sin in your life or some growth there in your life, then you're not really on a trajectory with Jesus. I'm just being honest with you. If God isn't stepping on your toes and challenging you, then you're not really in a faith walk. That'd be a great time for you to say amen because you're right? We're not talking about people who are working through issues in their life. We're all working through issues in our life. What this is talking about, you can leave that scripture up, is people who are walking through it, but they're not really dealing with their problems. They're calling themselves a Christian, but they're living like hell the rest of the time. In other words, they've got the name, they just don't have anything that they're backing up with. They don't have any relationship with God. They don't have any fruit coming out of their life. Not even like a seedling. They're busy running around causing everybody else to stumble and all this stuff with their pride and their arrogance and their immorality. And they're causing people to stumble. And God says, look, man, if you've got to be around sinners, we get that. But don't be around these fake Christians, because if you're around them, and this isn't going, well, every church is full of fake Christians, so I'm not going to go. Man, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. There are bad doctors out there, but I still go to one. I promise you this, my surgeon has made mistakes. Guaranteed. Guaranteed there's probably been a case or two that's been settled out. Because nobody's perfect. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to have an operation just because I'm afraid that my surgeon might have one time made a mistake. Or maybe made one on the surgery. My trust is just that you're not going to make it with me. That's the same thing of church, man. We've all failed God. We're all hypocrites on some level. But you know the difference between a hypocrite and a Christian is that a Christian says I'm sorry and tries to get it right the next time. I may have to swing at this 100 times, but I'll fall this tree eventually. The difference between that and what Paul's writing is a guy who has this tree of sin in his life but isn't trying to chop it down. You got to be careful of those folks because they'll put you in condemnation but not deal with their own sin. So we agree that we need to be around Christians, but we have to watch for fakes. Fair enough. We agree that we have to be around sinners, and that's our point, but not to become yoked with them. Matter of fact, go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. So it says this, do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Now every time I ever hear this talked about, what are we talking about? Marriage. Scripture says not be unevenly yoked. Well, he's not just talking about marriage. Anytime you yoke two things together, they're there to accomplish a task. If you put two bulls together, two oxen together, two horses together, and you yoke them, you tie their necks together. I got ready to tie two people together and ask them to run in different directions. There was going to be a bloody mess on stage. I saw all the ways it would go wrong. I skipped it. But if you've got one one ox that wants to go north and one that wants to go south, all those two things are going to do is tear each other up. If one wants to go right and the other wants to go left, all they're going to do is tear each other up. God talks and he says this, if you really want to pull together, you've got to find believers that are pulling in the same direction that you are. He said this, don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Find a believer that's pulling the same way you are and pull with them. For what partnership does righteousness and have with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? God said this, he said, man, you are the people you hang around with. What do you have in fellowship with them? And the answer is obvious. What's the answer? Nothing. Then Jesus said this, then don't get hooked up with those people. You know what? Every great failure that we read in the Word of God and really in life has to do with a decision that somebody made to hang around with somebody they didn't have any business with. I can take you from presidents to pastors and show you over and over again how relationships that shouldn't have been there was the start of those people's failure. Proximity matters. Who you hang around matters. So what do we do then? How do we know who to be around and who not to be around? How do we decipher our proximity? It's found in John chapter 15, 1 through 11. I love this. I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Let me pause that it may bear more fruit. If God's doing something in your life, he's always pruning or growing something in you. He's either cutting something back that you need to do less of, or he's growing out something that you need to do more of. It's the relationship, the proximity between us and God. Keep going. That it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken. He said, man, you're already right with God because of understanding the word of God. That if a man believes in his heart and confesses with mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Every year for Valentine's Day, when my wife worked in a job in a building with people, I remember those days. I would send her flowers to her work. I'd send her a dozen roses. And I sent them to her work because I needed other people there to tell her that I was good, because she sees me every day. And sometimes you take for granted the things you see every day. But if I send, and I always sent them early so that the other girls were jealous and would go home and tell their husbands that she already got flowers. And my wife, whenever she would get them, they'd be delivered. She'd take a picture and she'd send it to me. She'd say, oh, look at my beautiful flowers. My wife would leave them at work so that everybody saw them, which I was absolutely okay with. Because the more people that told her I was sweet, the more she would believe it. She'd send pictures every few days. I was still loving my flowers, whatever. And then one day she would send me this picture of them in the vase, and they're like black stems with balls of death on top of them. And she would be like, I guess it's time to bring the flowers home. I never asked her this, so I was always like, why? Why would you bring that home? And she'd bring them home and set them on the table for like a day, and I guess I have to throw them away. No, I guess that was 2 days ago. But you know what is strange is this, is that she wouldn't notice them dying because she saw them for 8 to 10 hours a day every day, and they died so slowly that she didn't pay any attention to it. What happens is this, if we don't keep our proximity close to God and we keep it around either fake people or really sinful people more than we should, what happens is we slowly die to the point that we didn't even realize we were dying. The gift that God put inside of us slowly withers and slowly withers until ultimately it's not good for anything. We're getting ready to find out, but to be thrown away or thrown into the fire. So I'm the vine and you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, these roses were going to be great as long as they stayed on the vine. But the minute we cut them, they were dying. The minute you separate yourself in any way from God, whether it's through friendships, relationships, or just moving away from God, you begin to slowly die. Verse 6. He said this, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. He said, man, you're going to die. And the ultimate place of death we know is hell. This is symbolism that Jesus is talking about. He said, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. God said, man, look, if you really need life change, it's about being as close to me as you can be. It's all about proximity. God talks all over and over and over all the time about proximity. He said, man, if you're abiding me, you can ask anything you want. People go, well, that sounds like a weird thing because I prayed for something and I didn't get it. Well, one, did you not get it or did you not get it when you needed it? Those are two different questions. God always gives it to you when you need it, not always when you want it. It's how you keep from it's how you raise a child and not a brat. Yes. But the other thing is this: sometimes God loves you enough, you can have anything you want, but you need to ask it according to my will. And my will is that you be able to hold everything you want. When I was 4 and wanted a shotgun, my parents said no. When you were 4 and wanted a pony, your parents bought you a My Little Pony because one was a whole lot easier to bury than the other. God will always give you what you can handle, even what you want if you can handle it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He said, look, man, it's all about you, me blessing you so that other people can see me in you. Verse 9, he said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So abide in my love. Verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and have abided in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be filled. God said this. He said, look, if you'll spend your time working on two proximities, look at the people that are really in your life and figure out how close to them you really need to be. Are they just straight up sinners and you need to get away from them because they're bringing you down? Maybe. Are they a sinner that you need to be around? You just need to move them quite out of, just a little further away so that they don't impact you? Maybe. Or maybe they're a wolf in sheep's clothing and they're one of your Christian friends, but they're not very Christian. Or they're teaching some gospel that's outside of this book. Maybe they need a warning. Maybe they need a movement out of your life. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Maybe the problem is that you're not abiding in God, that you're not living in the presence of God, you're not spending time in the Word of God. Man, I encourage you that if you don't have a daily devotional, if you'll email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com or you'll see myself or any of the leadership team, we'll get your email address. We'll invite you to one of our online groups. Man, we'd love for you to be a part of that. We believe that daily devotional life is part of growing in your faith. I was talking with one of our folks this morning. They said, man, this has been such a crazy week. I didn't get to do my devotional this week like I should. And I just stopped and I said, look, man, I'm telling you because I've done it. I missed like 3 days of my devotional this week. And I had to go online and be like, oh, sorry, here are all three of them back to back. Just kind of play catch up. Because you know what? But here's what I've learned, that when I skip those, when I'm too busy, I'm too busy for the devotionals, but I'm not too busy for the devil to come and wreck my day. Oh, somebody give me an amen. Don't make me feel like I'm the only one who's ever skipped a devotional for a couple of days. And the Lord started pruning that part of my heart. Hey, man, you need to be close to me. That doesn't mean I didn't do one at all. I just didn't do one with my group. And that was the thing I skipped for time. So you know what? God didn't create me to be alone. Come on now. Sometimes I get on there and I preach in that text box. But sometimes I go in there and I get preached to in that text box. Because we weren't created to be alone. So maybe your proximity to God needs to change. But I believe that if your proximity to people are right, God will show you those people and he'll show you where they need to be. Do they need to be totally out of your life or just put at arm's length or further? I think God will show you that. So maybe that proximity matters, and the other proximity that matters is your relationship, your closeness or far awayness to God. Because we'll lie to ourselves in a minute. So as we come to close, man, I'm just going to ask, with every head down and every eye closed, nobody looking around, whether you're here or joining us online or on podcast or however you're consuming this content, if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God, man, I'm going to encourage you right now just to slip your hand up and say, you know what, Pastor, thank you so much. Anybody else, just say, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I'm going to give an opportunity, first of all, for those who have never accepted Jesus. Man, I just want to pray a prayer with you, whether you're online or here in house. I want to pray a prayer with you. And then I want to pray a second prayer over believers. So will you just pray this prayer with me all over this building? Dear Heavenly Father, today I ask you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Father, make me right with you. in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, we believe that if you prayed that prayer, you did give your life to Jesus. We'd love to help you on that journey. Again, you can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. If you're here and you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God, I challenge you to do two things. Look at your proximity first to God. Are you in the Word like you're supposed to be? Are you in prayer like you're supposed to be? Are you in worship like you're supposed to be? And are you in community like you're supposed to be? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I can do the first three, but if I lose community, I start dying like those roses. Because I believe that God puts something inside of every believer that the rest of the church needs. Here's the great news. You can be God's kid and not act like it. Somebody give me a witness on that. Sometimes I'm God's kid, but if you see me on the interstate, there's a reason I don't put a Thrive sticker in my truck yet. Because I hadn't learned how to drive like him on the interstate. I may have to put another church's sticker in my window. My prayer is this: if you're not where you're supposed to be, change your proximity. You receive this today. I want to thank our online campus for joining us this morning. Man, God bless you. We hope you have an amazing week. Our prayers that the blessing and the favor of the Lord follow you everywhere that you go. To the folks that are here in house, man, I just want you to know that we believe in your journey. You're not perfect. But I believe that if we look at these two proximities, they're guardrails. You may bump into them. You may bump into some people. Ooh, I shouldn't have had them in my life. I heard it scraping. Or I heard, right? But if you'll stay between the ditches of watching your proximity to people and watching your proximity to God, you'll see God do things in your life that you didn't believe were possible. You'll see God's blessings and God's favor follow your life in a way that you didn't think would ever happen. To some of our older believers, if you've had a dream that you feel like somehow along the way has gotten aborted, I'm here to tell you that God specializes in bringing things back to life. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on what God's promised you, but look at your proximities. Fair enough. God bless you, man. We thank y'all so much for coming today. I thank God that the camera worked the whole service. I don't know what the angelic bells were, but I thought I was tuned in that second service. Like, I felt the Lord moving. But I really felt, I was like, I thought it maybe. Again, I want to thank the teams, Jesse, you and your crew, all the guys that came and made all this possible. I like the lights. They're a little harder for us to see, but I think they look better on camera. Yeah. I think that they're pretty cool in-house. Yes, no? Yeah. But Julie can make me look sick, though. She can, like, bring up the green light. It's weird. So she has power back there that I have to remember. But man, we just thank God for that. We thank God that you know, Steve, every week that podcasts are going out all over the world. Man, I'm so humbled to be a part of what God's doing here, and so excited. Anybody else feel like it's like atmospheric? You can feel that God's up to something. Man, these next couple weeks, buckle your safety belts because it's going to get thick around here, and we're going to push through. I know that people are facing some stuff, but it's time that we rekindled our vision and that we rekindled our focus. March is going to be wide open. That month, I'm probably going to talk about the vision, purpose, and passion of this church, and man, we're going to kick it. It's time that we all started pulling together and changed the world around us. I believe that we are part of a revival that's coming, and more than coming, I believe it's here. I'm tired of talking about it in the future tense. I'm ready to experience it. So, man, we're just going to talk about how you plug into that, and just make sure that here's where you need to be planted, because we've got another season of growth about to happen, and we want you to be a part of it. So, man, we love you guys. We're glad that you're here. We hope you have an amazing week. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. We just pray that this message, the proximity, will just impact your life, that it'll just invade every aspect of how you live, your proximity to God and to people, that it'll impact the way even that you spend your time when you wait. Man, we just again ask that if this podcast did bless you at all, if it impacted your life, that you'll take time to rate and review. Also, if you're interested in supporting the church, you can do so by going to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. Man, we're praying that God blesses you this week, that God encourages you this week, and that His favor is on everything that you do. God bless you. We'll see you next week.